Vayisrotu tu habanim bekirba, vatomer imkein lama ze anochi, vatelech lidroshes Hashem. And the children struggled in her womb, and Rivka said, if so, why do I exist? And she went to inquire of Hashem. We all know the famous Rashi that provides the backstory to our pasuk. When Rivka would pass by the Beis Medrash, Yaakov would struggle, would try to come out. And when she would pass by a house of idol worship, Esav would struggle to come out. And Rivka doesn't know what this means. And so she goes to inquire of Yeshiva Shem Va'ever, and they tell her that two nations are in your womb, two brothers who will fight to determine their respective places on the world stage. I want to ask three basic yet fundamental questions. We know that the Gemara in Sanhedrin brings a discussion as to when the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, is put into a person. And the consensus that emerges is that this occurs when the baby is ready to exit the womb. This is in line with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the Al Korchach Atanoled, which, as Rav Avadya Mibartanua explains, that at the time of birth, the fetus does not want to leave the womb, and the angel must force it out. Given what we just said, how could Esav have a Yetzirah, an evil inclination in the womb to yearn for Avodah Zarah? If the Yetzirah, as we just said, is only put into a baby when it's leaving the womb, when it's being born. The Gur Aryeh wants to explain that it wasn't Esav's evil inclination, his Yetzirah, that pushed him while he was in the womb towards the houses of idolatry. He says it was merely his nature that predisposed him towards such a desire. I think that while that answer can stand, we need to give an answer that sits a bit better. Let's ask another question. We know that the Gemara in Nida says that while the fetus is in the womb, an angel teaches it the entire Torah. If Yaakov was learning Torah with an angel, why, when his mother passed by Yeshivas Shem Va'ever, did he push to try and leave the womb and go out to the Beis Medrash? I'm sure Yeshivas Shem Va'ever was KBY level, but nothing beats learning one-on-one with the Malach. And finally, a general question let's also try to answer. Why in the world would Yitzchak love Esav? What could he have possibly seen in him? So to answer these questions, I want to propose a new understanding of our pasuk in this episode. Yaakov and Esav weren't and aren't meant in the ideal state to be antagonists. Rather, they're supposed to be complements of each other. The planner and the executioner. The conceiver and the one with the wherewithal to carry it out. The Midbar Shur writes that Esav's ability to take concrete thought and transform it into substantive action is what attracted Yitzchak to him. Who better to spread the ideals of the house of Avraham than Esav, a man with the wherewithal and capacity to take those ideas global? Who would have the might to destroy Avodah Zarah and rid the world of its pagan pantheons? Yeshiva Bachar Yaakov? No way! He might be the one to conceive of plans, but it would be in the hands of Esav that those plans would be carried out. Commenting on the Gemara in Nida, the Imre Shaul asks, why the Malach that teaches us the entire Torah in the womb subsequently causes us to forget it? He posits that the Torah that we learn in the womb is not true learning, for it is learning without the ability to transform that learning into action. Limud shelo amenas lasot. He quotes the Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah, in which Rav Yochanan says that someone who learns while alive, shelo amenas lasot, it would have been better that such a person die as a fetus in utero. Because basically, that type of learning that he's doing as a person is no better than the learning he did as a fetus, which was inherently shelo amenas lasot, without the ability to transform that learning into real action. Putting this all together and returning to our questions, let's try and get some answers. How could it be that Esav struggled to get out when Rivka passed the house of idolatry if a fetus until it's born doesn't have an evil inclination, a Yetzirah? The answer is, I think, that Esav was not pushing to get out when his mother passed a base Avodah Zarah in order to do Avodah Zarah, to do idol worship. Rather, it was because Esav wanted to demonstrate that the learning that he was doing in utero was amanas liasos, was not purely intellectual, but rather was something that would be a prelude to action, a training to fulfill his life's mission, to go out into the world and destroy Avodah Zarah, the very potential that he harbored in himself, which was so attractive to his father Yitzchak. Similarly, we have an answer to our other question. Why did Yaakov struggle to get out when his mother passed the Beis Medrash if he was learning one-on-one with the angel in the womb? The answer is because what Yaakov was also trying to demonstrate was that the learning he was doing in the womb was amanas la'asos, i.e. that he had every intent to use it in a practical way, and demonstrated this by struggling to get out of the womb into the world, to showing his desire to go to a place where the Torah he had learned could actually be actualized. The actualization of Yaakov and Esav's respective roles in the service of Hashem was most prominently seen in Rebbe and Antoninus. They were complements of each other. The kol of Yaakov, of Rebbe, editing the Torah Shebaal Peh, and the hands of Esav, of his descendant Antoninus, using his might to create a favorable situation for Rebbe to do so. It is interesting that it is no other than Rebbe and Antoninus who argue in Gemara Sanhedrin whether the evil inclination is put into a person at the time when he's conceived or at the time when he's born. Rebbe says it's at the time of conception, and Antoninus brings a proof that it is at the time of leaving the womb, with Rebbe ultimately conceding in the Gemara that Antoninus is correct. We might add that Antoninus' opinion is actually a melamed zechus on his forefather Esav's actions in the womb. For if, as Antoninus said, the evil inclination is not put into a person until birth, it emerges, as we explained, that Esav's pull towards the houses of idolatry in utero was not due to a desire to serve idols, because he didn't have a Yetzer Hara, but rather it was, as we explained, to demonstrate his desire to actualize his learning, to use his power and strength to rid the world of Avodah Zarah and spread the Torah of Hashem, something that Esav's descendant Antoninus would ultimately use his power and position to accomplish. Have a good Shabbos.